Good morning, everyone. We begin with two very different perspectives on immigration policy in the United States, taking a look at the Obama administration's policy. You know, there's a couple of interesting apparently conflicting trends going on in the Obama administration. The president, of course, says again and again he's for immigration reform.
Right.
Wants to create some sort of path to citizenship kind of program that changes the chaos
actually,
in the current system.
Actually, remarkably similar to his predecessor's policy.
But the pace of deportations under the Obama administration is way up.
Yeah, it's accelerated.
And the administration takes every chance it can get to point out that it's increasing the number of resources it's deployed to the border to enforce existing immigration laws.
Which is something they're passing a bill about today.
Indeed. Well, an 18-month-old program already on the books caught our attention, and we wanted to invite two guests to come on and help us to understand how this fits into the context of the Obama administration policy, as much as we can decipher that. Sunita Patel is a staff attorney for the Center for Constitutional Rights, joining us from home here in New York. Good morning, Sunita.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Mark Krikorian returns to the program, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, thanks for being with us again.
Happy to be here.
All right. The Homeland Security Department, Sunita, enforces this program over the last 18 months called Secure Communities, where local law enforcement passes along information it gets from arrests and bookings of individuals on crimes of one kind or another that indicates these people are undocumented immigrants. Then the federal government acts on that information, and it's resulted in deportations in more than 400 districts around the United States. What do you make of this program?
Well, this program makes state and local police central to the enforcement of federal immigration law. It functions similar to some of the other controversial immigration-related programs that many of your listeners have probably heard about, like 287G and Arizona's SB 1070. And like you mentioned, it runs fingerprints, the information from fingerprints through several databases. The immigration databases that are used are questionable in terms of their accuracy, and folks have their fingerprints run and information sent to the immigration authorities at the time of booking an arrest, not at the time of conviction, which seems contrary to the congressional mandate around this program.
What is the congressional mandate around the program?
Well, in 2008, Congress appropriated $200 million for the advancement and of technological programs to detect convicted criminals and to prioritize what they're calling high-threat individuals and non-citizens. And this program, it currently operates at, actually, we just found out this week that it's now in place in 544 jurisdictions in 27 states. And this is an enormous increase from the 116 jurisdictions where it was in place when the Center for Constitutional Rights filed a lawsuit in federal court to obtain records related to the program, which was in early February.
All right, let me ask you one more question before we get Mark's response to what you've said here. Sunita Patel, you know, what's wrong with a program that looks for criminals in communities who happen to be undocumented aliens and deporting them even if they haven't committed any crimes? If you find out that they're here illegally, they're eligible for deportation, period, the end.
Well, there's a couple of problems with that analysis of this program. First of all, the Secure Communities program makes us all less safe. Several national police and sheriff's associations have spoken out against similar programs and ICE and police collaboration in general because they understand the damage that can be done to the community and to the public. The mere perception that ICE and local police are collaborating makes crime victims and domestic violence survivors really weary to report crime, and witnesses are less likely to cooperate with investigations.
All right. Let's get a reaction from Mark Krikorian. We should point out that ICE is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division of the Homeland Security Department. Mark Krikorian, your reaction.
I just don't see what the problem is with checking people who have been arrested and are being booked. They're at the police station. They're being fingerprinted. The FBI databases are checked to see if there are outstanding warrants against them, that kind of thing. And the idea that somehow this is inappropriate to check their immigration status, as though immigration law isn't really law, is outrageous.
All right,
I mean,
but respond to Sunita's particular point that it makes witnesses less likely to report crimes if they're leery. We understand what you're saying about the in theory that they ought to be checked, but what about this making people less likely to report crime?
This is one of the chestnuts of the anti-enforcement side, and there's absolutely no research. Any evidence at all to suggest that's true. And in fact, there's evidence in the other direction, that communities that have signed up agreements called the 287G agreements, it just means an agreement where they cooperate with the immigration services, there's been no drop-off in reports of domestic violence complaints, that kind of thing, because the cops, even in the most enthusiastic jurisdictions, make clear that witnesses and victims' immigration status is irrelevant to them.
All right, let's get a response from Sunita Patel. Sunita, your reaction.
Well, I disagree. There are national women's organizations that have called this program into question, and not immigration rights agencies, but victims' rights groups that have really called this out, as well as national police associations. And I also think that it's important to point out when we're talking about this that that we suspect and law enforcement understands that this program can serve as a smokescreen for racial profiling. And when officers when there's potential for officers to stop people based solely on their appearance and arrest non-citizens, knowing that they're going to be deported, even if they conducted a bad stop, a wrongful arrest, and violated someone's constitutional rights, regardless of whether someone's a citizen or not, law enforcement can't be given a blank check to do unconstitutional activity.
All right, Sunita Patel and Mark Krikorian, less than a minute now. I want to get a takeaway here. Do you believe, Sunita Patel, that the administration's policy on immigration in opposing the Arizona law, but in keeping this particular program we've been discussing, is in contradiction in a fundamental way?
I do. I believe that the reason why Senate Bill 1070 was able to gain so much traction is because the Obama administration is pushing forward programs that allow law enforcement to be central to immigration enforcement.
Got it.
This is a program
Understood. Sunita Patel, staff attorney for the Center for Constitutional Rights. Would you agree that on that contradiction question, Mark Krikorian, before we go?
To some degree, yes. They're pulled in separate directions.
All right,
trying to satisfy Sunita and but trying to satisfy the public at the same time.
All right, Mark Krikorian, executive director for the Center for Immigration Studies. Thanks to both of you for that discussion.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.